Hello and welcome to Nintendo Pals Podcast, the show all about Nintendo and friendship. I'm joined by my fellow Nintendo pal, Micah, and we are going to be reviewing, talking about, giving thoughts on the Pokemon Scarlet and Violet DLC, Wave 1, the Teal Mask. So, Micah, you ready to jump on in to this episode?
Yep.
Hello, it's me, Andros, one of the hosts of the Nintendo Pals podcast, and I have a favor to ask you, dear listener. If you're listening to this, and you have not yet checked out our community feedback survey that we have put in the description of every episode this week, and shouted out a couple times, please, please check it out. Fill out the survey questions and answers to help give us some feedback on how we're doing. How's our driving? And ideas for improvement. Or, you know, you just want to complain? That's a spot to do it too. Feedback, feedback, feedback. Give it to us, please. And also, while you're down clicking those links, be sure to leave us a 5-star review on your podcast listening app of choice and hit that subscribe button. It helps us to take over the world of Nintendo podcasts. Cause that's what we're out here to do. We're conquering every timeline using our 5 stars. You pushed that button so loud that it switched to you for a second there. What is happening over there? Okay.
I was gently typing.
It was not gentle.
It was very gentle. My keyboard is just very loud.
So let's jump into this. So if you're new here to Nintendo Pals Reviews, we cover a variety of things, right? We like to talk about the gameplay. We talk about the story. We talk about the graphics and art style. We talk about the music. Those are kind of the 4 categories that we mainly focus on, and we'll throw our other anything else in there. So we're talking about Pokemon Teal Mask. Micah, you have not picked this up, correct?
Correct.
So this is going to be a me explaining to you. Ask any questions as I'm going in here, because this is really on the fly, like most our episodes are. I don't write out my review.
Is this the one with the turtle?
This is not the one with the turtle. However,
so it's the garbage one.
It hints to the turtle. These are actually connected DLCs, it appears, in a way I wasn't expecting. Because I believe, and don't quote me on this, anybody, but for Wave 2 of the DLC, we will be going to the Blueberry Academy. And this DLC is a joint field trip with the Blueberry Academy to visit an area. What is the name of the place?
Teal Mask area.
Kitakami Island. Well, it's actually not even an island, I think. I think it's actually, like, you can actually see that it's connected everywhere. You're not surrounded by ocean. I'm not 100% sure how you get from Paldea to this place. I think you have to take a plane. And I think you can fly between the two at any time as well. So it's like a second map, and you can just go to a Pokestop on that map and then fly to a Pokestop somewhere else. But instead of like the little birds carrying you animation, it's an airplane. So I think you do take an airplane. However, they don't really mention that. They
know they had airplanes.
They just start with you getting there And one of the kids that is with you got sick from the bus ride.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, poor kid. I chose a very poor time to take a drink there. I just paused after like that was some dramatic moment. First
What a
off, okay.
reveal.
So first off, you're introduced to a teacher. Her name's Briar from the Blueberry Academy. And she's very interested in the Red Book because she is a descendant of the author of the Scarlet Book or the Violet Book, depending on which game you played. So she's very interested in this turtle Pokemon because she has the original manuscript, which has details that were not in the book. Yeah. So that's kind of interesting, and it kind of teases to. She was like, I'm looking to get permission to go to Area Zero so I can look around there. And they're like, yeah, we'll talk about it. Maybe we'll send you down there. Maybe, probably not though, because you know it's real dangerous. Also, there's a time machine down there. Don't know if anybody, you know what I'm saying? Like that's this character is. She seems nice, but I could totally see her ending up being like a twist villain of some kind. But I think she's mostly just interested in. Finding the turtle. Who wouldn't be?
As we all should be.
As we all should be. So you are going on a field trip with the Blueberry Academy students. So it's a combined field trip, and supposedly the students were chosen at random with a raffle. So goodbye, characters from the base game. You're not going with Penny or Alvin, what is his name?
Alvin?
Where? What?
It's not Alvin?
Is it? I. You look it up on the site because I can't remember.
My keyboard's so loud.
And that one girl. I can't remember anybody's names. It's been so long since I played the base game already. I feel like.
Is a different Alvin.
Yeah, who? It's like that, but it's not. Arvin. Arvin?
That
Arvin.
sounds right.
That sounds right. And Nimona.
That also sounds right.
That also sounds right. Those three characters that were like pivotal to the first game, like plot-wise, and each of them kind of led a different effort. Yeah, no, they didn't get to go on the field trip. Instead, you will be going with three new students, and their names are. They
One,
don't
student
have
two, and student three.
names. Nope, not even that. They are unnamed. You talk to them and they have no names. And they're the ones going with you on this trip. There's like a little kid, there's a girl, and then there's a guy. So, hey, you're chosen at random. So you can name him whatever you want. We named the little guy Timmy. And then I think I'll go Timmy, Tommy, and Tina. Those will be my
That's
names. But that's because the Blueberry Academy has the named students with unique designs that weren't just NPCs taken for the sake of having other people go on this field trip. You have oh man, it's Carmen, Carmine, and Kieran. Are the blueberry students going on this field trip? Only two blueberry students got to go. Four
fortunate.
Paldea, Narange, or Violet. What's the Violet Academy?
Good
Grape
question.
Narange and
Grape
Grape
sounds about right.
Academy. Four of those students got to go, and two blueberry students got to go.
Must be a smaller school.
But also they're from Kitakami. They're from there.
Oh, so they can go there whenever they want.
Worst field trip ever, am I right? Like they didn't bring two new kids that have never seen it before. They brought just two kids back home, and they're siblings. So it's like little brother,
Maybe
big
they're just
sister.
going because they wanted to, unrelated.
Yeah, but it just seems bad. Like this, it's just bad writing. I'm just like, come on, man. At least bring other characters, other fake NPC characters wearing their
But
school uniforms.
then who would explain things to you about the place?
That's true. That's
I
exactly what
assume
they.
that's what they did.
Oh, what? so we're diving into the story here more than anything, which is not much.
Yeah, let's get to the good stuff.
It's light. The story is light. I'll give a quick recap here. Carmine and Kieran meet you in the town, and Carmine's like, "We don't like outsiders in our town." And she challenges you to a battle. You wipe the floor with her because you're a freaking champion of Paldea. And I will say that they are not, the Pokemon levels are nothing to sneeze at. The wild Pokemon start in the 60s and get upwards to 70s, and their Pokemon are in the 70s. However, my team is also in the 70s, and I just have more Pokemon that are fully evolved. It's weird that nobody acknowledges the fact that you were the champion and did a whole bunch of crazy stuff. They're just like, "Wow, he's such a nice guy." Kieran thinks you're really cool after you beat up his older sister. They kind of have a bad, toxic sibling relationship where she bosses him around and he's really shy and timid. And then and then she's like secretly behind your back, like, likes you. Angelica from the Rugrats, or or what's her name from Hey Arthur?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know who I'm talking about.
Erga?
Yeah, that sounds right. Olga. Yeah, Olga. She is Olga. It's 100% the same character writing wise. And yeah, so it starts out with her being kind of like, "I don't like you, outsider." And Kieran's like, "Wow, he's so cool." And then you have to buddy up and you have to go to all the signs that tell the legend of the island. Now, the legend of the island are these three ancient these three legendary Pokemon rose up to defend the island from an ogre Pokemon. And that's the legend of the island. Okay. Kieran is weirdly obsessed with the ogre Pokemon. He's like, "I really want to see the ogre Pokemon. It just seems like it'd be so lonely and it's so cool." And then he's like, "Let's battle so that we can show the ogre how cool we are." And you, like, go up to the ogre cave, even though, like, nobody's seen the ogre. So it's all legends, but then everybody's like, "Oh, yeah, it's here now, and we know it is." Ogre Pawn is the name of the legendary. Turns out to be a nice little guy. He's just like a little kid. A little kind of humanoid guy. He wears a mask and gets away with walking in the mask festival because nobody knows it's him. And you have a whole, like, Cinderella moment where he is running away on the steps and the mask falls off and you try and give it to him and he just runs. The clock struck midnight and he's no longer a real boy. Anywho, long story short, the legends were false. Ogre Pawn was the good guy, and the three hero Pokemon were actually the bad guys. So then the three hero Pokemon come back to life somehow. That's not explained even a little bit.
Maybe that's like a twist you shouldn't have told.
I don't think this story is not very deep.
That sounds like a pretty sweet twist to me.
It all feels very surface level. So the three Pokemon come back to life, and then they start trying to steal Ogre Pawn's mask, and they steal his other masks. And so then you have to go get the masks from them, and they turn into Titan Pokemon in different corners of the map. So it's like a little mini Titan Pokemon game. And that's essentially it. You beat them up, then you come back, and you tell the town, "Ogre Pawn was good all along." And the town's like, "We're so sorry. Oh, no." Happy day, all's well. And you can kind of run around this region. And there's a lot of new Pokemon. So let's talk about gameplay. A lot of new Pokemon. And by new Pokemon, I mean just like old Pokemon that are newly in this game. That were not in the original decks. And
so Shuckle?
No Shuckle that I've seen yet. That's yet.
So it's a garbage DLC.
But yeah, there's a bunch, and I feel like there's an abundance of items on the ground, and it's the same thing as Scarlet and Violet. It's the same traversal mechanics. There's nothing really new or unique about the gameplay here. At one point, Ogre Pond follows you around and they make that seem like a big deal, but it's like, nope, your Pokemon could do that the whole time. All the Pokemon. And Kieran and Carmine have this like weird sibling stuff going on. So, yeah, that has nothing to do with the gameplay. But so yeah, so gameplay wise, it's just more of the base game. With some more story in a different place. You have any questions about the gameplay? I can't think of anything else to talk about with that.
I mean, sounds like it's essentially the same as Scarlet and Violet.
Yeah, with like
which I played.
I mean, yeah, so
you
like
can run around, see Pokemon in the wild. You can see if they're shiny. Other than that, it's a Pokemon game, right?
Yeah, and then there's also kind of like Titan Pokemon battle. It has all the same, like, you can do raids and stuff there. There's new outfits and haircuts. Woohoo! Oh, nice. Hot diggity dog! They did include a new man bun haircut, which is pretty good looking, actually.
Are you going to gray her out now?
In real life?
Yeah, did it convince you to grow out a man bun?
No. Nope. But you can get a new uniform, and you know how they are in this game about, like, you get no outfits except for the school uniforms. So now you can get, like, an ancient, like, it's not ancient, like, traditional Japanese garb. Are the outfits less terrible? I don't think they're bad, but they're not really, it's not so unique that you're like, I mean, I've been using it the whole time I played. I was like, sure, why not? Also, they force you to have a haircut, and I haven't found a haircut place on that island. I had to like fly back to get my regular hair back. Like, okay, well,
maybe
whatever.
You should have just kept your hair.
Put on a hat.
They wanted.
Yeah, I guess so. There is a lot of move from point A to point B and interact with dialogue. And long spouts of dialogue that just mean nothing. And it's like, I will be honest, there are large portions of this that I just mashed the A button through, because it's just like, I already know what I'm supposed to be doing here and what these people are going to say. Blah, 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 blah. And it doesn't help that their animations are all like, it's not even interesting to look at. So it's just like, it just feels like a wall of text. Right, like they, and this is kind of a problem with the base game as well. But I think it's more accentuated here because they went much more story than gameplay, and but they didn't like, they didn't up like the animation quality or anything like that. So that leads us right into graphics. Let's talk graphics and art style. It's still garbage. It's still bad. It doesn't look great. I'd say that it's the same. It's the same. I am baffled that the like shadow glitches are still just as bad as at launch. Like that hasn't been improved even a little bit. Maybe it has in the base game, but in the DLC, it's... I had a point where I caught a Pokemon, and it was, I guess, sitting right on the edge of showing a shadow and not. And so my whole screen was just blinking, like, dark and light, like, while it was trying to catch. It's funny. Funny time. Yeah, so, like, don't expect this DLC to include like heavy graphical improvements or enhancements to the game, because it just doesn't. I do like the Kitakami layout and design. It does feel like it has some cool unique areas, but not unique enough to feel too different from Paldea. So it's basically just another, like, a little bit more.
That's just area. More of the same, mm-hmm. A little different story.
And that's kind of the story with this DLC, is it's more of the same. And for me, that's enough. I liked the base game. I enjoyed it. I would say it. The game has its flaws, but I had a fun time playing it. And I had a fun time playing this DLC. But it's not anything new. It's not really necessary to exist. But it was a fun way to get back in and play some more. Lastly, we'll talk about music. And I'd say it's fine. It services what we've got going on. They do change up the battle themes and things for the Kitakami area. So it's not like the same music, but it doesn't feel so wildly different that it's like, wow, this is so unique. So it's just kind of more of the same. I feel like I'm doing a bad job selling this. If you see Blondie in chat, yeah, here says, you're not convincing me to spend money on it. And I would say that this might not be worth spending money on in this current state. But however, you're getting the DLC. We have another wave. And if it follows the pattern of Sword and Shield, the first wave of DLC for Sword and Shield was met with a pretty meh reception. But the second wave was really liked. So I hope that's kind of how it is. And it kind of looks to be that way. I mean, they've shown off the Blueberry Academy stuff in the trailers and how there's going to be like a lot more to do, it looks like. So I have high hopes that the next wave will be more than this. And I like the Pokemon design. The new characters are fine. I will say that Carmine and Kieran are just Arvin and Penny again. Like, Kieran is Penny and Carmine is Arvin, where it's like, she even has the same like facial animation and just like tense up angry. You remember, like, he would get like when you first meet him and then he softens up. It's like the really exact intense. Same. So if I have to matchmake people, I'm going to say Arvin and Carmine are going to make a great duo, and Kieran and Penny going to make a great duo. And you, and whether you like it or not, Nimona are going to be a couple.
There's no escape.
There's no escape. I saw a meme that I thought was so funny. It's Carmine and talking to you, and then it's a picture of Nimona, and she's like, you didn't battle with any other girls while you were away, did you? Which this is like, yep. She gonna be mad. I am baffled they're not even mentioned at all in the DLC. I really hope that they are in the next part, because those characters are really likable. I actually really liked, like, Nimona, for as much grief as I give her for being like the obsessive girlfriend stereotype.
Yeah, you kept talking about how she was like a psychopath.
Yeah, but it was the combination of her, Arvin, and Penny with you at the end of the base game was so fun. I loved their dynamic, because none of them would associate except for they're all friends with you. And then they just make it felt like you were playing an episode of the anime, right? It's like Brock and Misty wouldn't hang out if Ash wasn't, if Ash hadn't met, brought them together. But then you have the dynamic between the very different personalities. And because they have such like one track personalities, and I would say Arvin has a pretty cool, an interesting character arc, I think. Penny as well. Nimona does not. No character arc for Nimona. She's the same. She is, I've heard it described as,
she's the same. Changes so much.
I've heard it described as she is the Ash Ketchum of the Pokemon games, where it's like you're the same character, never really has any character growth, just wants to battle. Like that's her whole deal, and that's okay. That's okay. Some people don't change. All right, some people just kind of stay the same. I mean, that's not 100% true, but she really doesn't have much of a character arc story wise, right? So I just like their dynamic. And I'm sad that they were not even mentioned in this DLC. You just go off on a separate adventure without them. And you don't even, like, it feels like there should be, like, some calls.
That's because this is also an alternate timeline. And they don't exist.
Spit out my drink. alternate timeline that you can fly to at any time from the regular timeline? Whoa!
Exactly. It's not a plane. It's an interdimensional timeline traveling space shuttle.
So where do I sit? I'm going to score this. I'm going to score this. And this may be the lowest score we've ever given on this show. I am going to give this a 6. 6 out of 10. It's passing. It doesn't add enough to feel like it's warranted as a DLC. But I enjoyed it. That being said, I enjoyed it. I had fun with it. But I liked the base game a lot. And so it was fun to come back to it and just kind of have more adventure from where we were. So hopefully that helps anybody out there that's kind of like on the fence on whether or not they want to pick it up for this.
Yeah, if they were, they're not going to be picking it up.
I think that there are people that will listen
unless
to this
they
and
don't
go,
trust your opinion at all.
No, I think there are people that are listening to this that will go, okay, that's fair. It's more of the same. And I liked the base game. I'll pick it up. I liked this DLC. So I know a 6 out of 10 is like a death sentence in most places. But I just kind of think that this is not quite to where I'm like, yeah, this is good at like a 7. And it definitely isn't higher than a 7. So that's why I kind of feel like it's a 6. Because it's not bad either. It's just there. And more of what you had in the base game. Which I like. There you go. And with that, we're going to end this episode. Micah, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitch at Micah Prime.
Spit out my drink. Because you can find me at Andross1 on Twitch and YouTube. And you can also follow the show on all the social media platforms. A reminder, if you didn't catch it at the beginning, please fill out our community survey. A link will be in the description. And appreciate y'all for listening to this show, but we especially appreciate our Patreon supporters. So we're going to give you guys a shout out like we always do. You know what I'm saying? We're going to shout you out with the Patreon Pokey Rap. We got to rap some Patreon.
You just do the scene. I'll take care of the hard part.
Let's get it on.
We want to be the best that ever was. And shout out our pals over on Patreon.
LPD, Rizzo, Retrologic Dan, Tim the Nintendo Dash, Slim Tour, Spider Chance, Solo Something, Mute Dog the Gamer, Little Miss 7, and Monkey Thunder.
Catch him, gotta catch him all. Gotta catch him all, Patreon.
Kid, Fiesta, Third Strongest Mold, Fedorable Will, All, and Seth Sturgill, Cosmic, Purple, Viola, That Fast John, and all the plays too.
Gotta catch 'em all, gotta catch 'em all!
Yeah!
Gotta catch 'em all, gotta catch 'em all!
Yeah!
Gotta catch 'em all, Patreon! Let's get 150 or more, yeah, please! To be a Patreon donor is your destiny!
Thank you all so much for listening, and we will talk to you in the next episode! Bye-bye!